Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Jay, back to bring you more technology news. So, there's a lot of apps out there, a lot of different apps for a lot of different things. There's actually a few apps that, you know, can track your mileage. So, say if you travel a lot, if you drive a lot, like I actually do for one of my jobs, you get to track your mileage on it, you know, and there, and it'll tell you how many miles you've gone, you know, and all that stuff. And basically, you know, you can take it back to your employer and go, hey, I drove this much for you, you know, reimburse me. So the team that is behind one of these mileage tracking apps called MileIQ, which is a company that Microsoft happened to acquire just a few years ago, has come out with a new app. This time, their focus is not on tracking your miles, but rather your expenses. So this new app, which is, you know, quite simply just called Spend, is on the App Store now, and it offers automatic expense tracking for, like, work reimbursement purposes or for your taxes. So this doesn't claim to be some part of some giant grand Microsoft plan to take on expense tracking industry giants like Expensify or the SAP owned Concur. They don't really plan on doing that. They said at least not at this time. This new app, you know, looks pretty well designed and it seems pretty easy to use. And like most expense trackers, it'll offer features like the ability to take photos of your receipts. There'll be expense categorization features and, of course, reporting. So this app automatically tracks all your expenses from like a linked credit card or bank account. You can then swipe on the expenses to mark them as personal or business. These expenses automatically get categorized, and you can also add extra tags for extra organization. You can also add notes to purchases. You can split the expenses, and you can customize the expense categories in addition to tags. And the app can also generate expense reports for you on a weekly, monthly, or even a custom base, which can then be exported onto a spreadsheet or PDFs. There's also a web dashboard for when you're using the app at your computer. But Spend doesn't appear on the MileIQ main website at this time. It does, however, have a support site. The company says, of course, this is an early version, and they plan to revise it, tweak it, and fine-tune it going forward as, you know, the app gets is being made. So, really, this sounds like an interesting app idea. I don't know if it's necessary, though, but then again, I haven't really ever had an expense account at any job I've had. Nor can I think of a moment where I've had to set up stuff like this for such a thing. Like, usually, like, you know, the closest I get is on my bank. I'll see, okay, I spent this much at this time, this much at that time. And the bank also tell me, hey, did you spend this? And I can say, no, I did not. That wasn't me. You know, I've had that kind of stuff happen before. But I guess for people who do travel for work a lot, you know, and make expenses for work, this could be a great thing. Like it said, it's not the only one out there, though. But, you know, I trust Microsoft. I have Microsoft products, you know, my laptop, And I've used their applications in the past. I like where most times said applications are free. They don't cost you anything. And it sounds like there isn't any extra cost to this as far as I can tell right now, which I think is a great thing. Because usually people have to use something like this. You know, they're probably not, you know, making as much money at said job as they like anyway. Maybe. Again, I could be wrong. But I do know that it sounds pretty simple to use. It sounds pretty easy to use. Microsoft usually knows what they're doing with their applications. And I could see where the app, like, you know, where this app could be helpful to people in certain different career fields. You know, I have family members who travel all the time. And, you know, they probably do have a lot of stuff they can mark as work expenses. Really, I've only just started doing that lately. Only recently have I, you know, started to like expend, like, you know, like make notes of stuff work. And that's just for my taxes. I've never thought of doing that before. It's only in the last year I went, oh yeah, there's certain things I do. Like, you know, the gas I spend going to conventions or, you know, the places I stay at that I'm like, hey, these could be written off as, you know, tax deductions or expenses. Like, you know, like, because it's not being covered by, you know, my job. One of my jobs is just not. So I just started recently doing that, and I don't know how to work out, but I know that it's something that I probably should have been doing years ago. It just never clicked in my head to do it. And if I'd had an app like this, maybe I would have done it sooner, because it sounds like it's a pretty easy to use app. You take pictures of, you know, the it tracks all the spending for you, so you can know, hey, how much are you spending? You can probably go to a, you know, printer, which most printers nowadays have a feature where you can print off your phone to the printer. So it probably has that compatibility there. And it sounds like it's something that, you know, you can just take during tax time to your accountant or your, you know, company, accountant company or, you know, payroll or whatever. And just have them like, you know, you can see, hey, this is how much I spent this year and I'd like this reimbursed, please, or get a write-off for it or however they want to do it, right? And I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that, you know, because sometimes life can be hectic and stressful enough. And if there's something that makes some of this stuff a little bit easier, I'm all for it. But like it was said, and it's true of most apps, you know, it's not perfect yet. It still probably has some fine tuning and some bugs to work out. Like most apps, and like I've said on previous episodes, like most technology in general, you know, you don't always want to go run out and buy the brand most brandest spanking newest thing because it may not be perfectly tuned yet. There may still be some bugs to be fixed out there, and maybe some updates along the way may help do that. And it sounds like this app is no different. I'm not personally a real big app user. I'm just not. But I know that most of the apps I've used in the past, I haven't had any problems with. But like I said, I don't run out and you know, get apps because it's just I'm not always in a rush to get the newest, most amazingest app. But I have heard, and I talked about this on the last episode, Pokemon Go, when it first came out, had problems, and updates along the way fixed that. So that was just one example of an app that a lot of people do use that I heard there were issues with it in the beginning because it wasn't a fine, perfectly fine-tuned app yet. Like, stuff came up along the way that they went, oh, we didn't see that coming, and they kind of had to update that, you know. Most of the time, this technology I've had, I haven't had those problems, but when an update does come along, I will try to do it because it does kind of help it keep running smoothly too, right? So it looks like this is available in the App Store now. I don't know if it's available on iOS and Android or just one or the other. I really don't know. I didn't see that, but it doesn't mean they're not. I'd assume it's for both because it doesn't say otherwise, even though it's Microsoft, I would think. But I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if it's on like iTunes and like, you know, Microsoft devices or just Microsoft devices. I don't know. But if you do happen to be someone who does travel a lot for work and you want help tracking your expenses, this may be an app for you to work to try out. Absolutely. So, yeah, I'd say go ahead and test it, check it out, and hopefully it works out for you really well. Because who knows? Maybe someday I might be using something like this because you know, traveling does happen with work. It does. It's a nice joy for me. I love doing it. It's fun. But having some way to be able to, you know, keep track of this stuff would definitely help me a lot in the long run. That's absolutely true. And like I said, if I learn more stuff about this as it goes along, I can definitely bring it onto this episode, to this show, for future episodes, and let you know how it's working out and if things are better or worse, and maybe even find some reaction stuff if you would like. So it's time for us to take our first break. So we'll be back in a few moments with more technology news.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Hello, everyone. This is Jay, back bringing more technology news for you. So, something came out about, it's been around for longer, 3D printers. They've been around for longer, they started with the really big, bulky ones. And when I was working in an office supply store, they started to come out with the smaller, compact ones, but they weren't really affordable. They were, four figures for the miniature ones. And of course, getting the spools of plastic, whatever, isn't affordable either. And at the time when they very firstly came out, I don't even think they were readily available. I know that I think Best Buy in some places carry them now. I don't know if they carry them in store, but I think they do at least carry them in online. I know that. And I do know that they are slowly going down in price. Now, slowly is the key word. They're not something that, it's affordable now, or Black Friday, it's $300. At least I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. And it's also a technology that it takes a long time for said thing to print. It doesn't happen, just in 15 minutes or in a few minutes or in a few seconds. It takes a while, and that's just for small stuff. If you print something bigger, it takes even longer. But as the technology is becoming more readily available and more accessible, there's a lot of applications that realize for it. People can build different items out of it. It's just plastic instead of metal. I think people have used it to make bikes and simple things like that. They're starting to work on trying to find ways to make food out of it, but that's still in very early applications. You can make little toys out of it. You can make, there's just a lot of things. As the technology is becoming more advanced and easier to use and more user-friendly, they're finding more applications for it. Now, one application that was found that was kind of controversial, and I think they've tried to find ways around it, is that you can make a 3D printed gun with it, and you can make plastic bullets. Now, mind you, it's not it's a giant, a gun that can, I don't know if it can necessarily kill someone, but it is a weapon that isn't going to be detectable in metal detectors because, it's plastic, it's not metal. And I think it can cause harm to people. I'm not sure if death, but it can cause harm. So this is something that has happened. And like I said, I think there's been ways they've tried to prevent it from happening, but I think it's still possible. And there's ways around it, I'm sure. And it's a big problem. If someone tries to come into, say, somewhere and, wants to harm someone, or a terrorist attack, or someone wants to, cause harm to somebody at an event or something like that, it's definitely easy to get through it, So on that note, there's a new way to identify 3D printed guns has come out. Researchers at the University at Buffalo have found that 3D printers have fingerprints, essentially slight differences in design that can be used to identify these said prints. This means that investigators are able to examine the layers of the 3D printed object and pinpoint exactly which machine produced the parts. And so what's interesting about this is these researchers going a little bit further found that the tiny wrinkles in each layer of plastic, like said gun, can be used to identify the printer's model type, filament, nozzle size, and other factors that cause slight imperfections in the patterns. They happen to call their technology Print Tracker. So this process, they say, will work primarily with like FDM printers like the MakerBot, which will use long spools of filament to deposit layers of plastic onto a build plate. Because these printers, the printers used in 3D printed guns are usually more complex and more expensive, there could happen to be a less variation in the individual layers, and of course, more importantly, the layers might be harder to discern. However, as they say, for some simpler plastic parts, they could exhibit variations. So, this is basically a way to not just find out, you know, to like really say if someone did make a printed gun, you know, and they did bring it to an event and say something did happen or almost happened. Instead of like, you know, going, hey, we like how we see like the gun, you know, they can find out where the gun was made, who probably like, you know, was responsible for making the gun and kind of find the culprit quicker. So that sounds like what this is. And when I read this article, I was like, this is kind of interesting. I think this is kind of cool. I think this is definitely not a bad idea because, like I said, this is not kind of one of those things when they made this technology, they didn't think, oh yeah, someone would make that with it. I don't think they did. And like I said, it's happened. And I can't say I remember many instances of people like, you know, being harmed by them, but just the implications of, hey, someone can make a weapon out of this, well, that's not usually a good thing. Like if someone could make, you know, like a hammer or like some kind of big object that they could beat someone to death with, it's not really a good thing, right? This is similar. And I like that they, you know, they've done this. I think it's kind of a clever name, but kind of like the app from, you know, earlier in the episode, I think that this is something that probably still has some fine tuning they need to do and some like just like testing to see, okay, you know, how is it going? What's the good parts of what's the bad? And, you know, like they said, there's, well, at least like I had said, there's a number of different 3D printers out there. There isn't just one company, right? And some are going to be better than others. Some are going to be bigger than others. Some are going to be faster than all the others. And some are going to just end up being, you know, just better than others. You know, quality, filament, things like that. And there may still be ways to cover one's tracks after they make such things. So it's very good in theory. It sounds really good on paper, but I feel like this is something that definitely be sure to test more, to, you know, do some more research and development on it, some maybe like practical applications and things like that, and see like, you know, is this something that will be good, or do we need to fine tune it some more, maybe like, you know, let it evolve a bit before it becomes what we really want it to be. But like the applications, if this is, you know, done right and, you know, corrected enough, might help prevent crime, and that's never a bad thing. You know, might prevent people from getting harmed or catching people who are doing such things from doing it again. So, yeah, so I think this is kind of a really cool thing that they're doing, and like I said, you know, it'll take definitely less people getting harmed by them, and you know, possibility of bad things happening. So, yeah, so I definitely want to learn more about it. I definitely want to hear more about it. I'll definitely keep my eyes peeled for more stories like this as it evolves and grows. And as, you know, to watch the changes and how things are going there, I definitely want to keep an eye on those for you. And, but yeah, I'm intrigued by this. And I'm, you know, I'm for this and I'm excited for this. And I definitely just hope that, you know, they have it good out there, because I don't even know if it's available yet. If it's something that like, hey, it's gone out to different agencies or different companies. Like I would say do some testing first. Maybe like have some people do some practical testing with like, okay, someone just made a, you know, 3D printed gun. Let's see if we can, you know, find out what the gun is and where it came from and who made it. And, you know, what can we do now and how can we make sure this doesn't happen again? So, Yeah, it's definitely an interesting story. It's really one of those kind of cool stories of using technology for good to, you know, prevent bad from happening. And really, frankly, I'm always for such things. I don't see any reason why that shouldn't be done. I think it's absolutely wonderful. And I hope, you know, Print Tracker, I hope that you definitely fine tune it out there. And in maybe the next couple of months or years, you can go out there and definitely stop this stuff from happening. All right, so we're going to take ourselves one last break. So we'll be back in a few moments with more technology news.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Hello there, everybody. This is Jay back for your final little bit of technology news. So, if as you heard when I talked about Pokemon Go, that I was once a very big Pokemon fan. You know, I watched the cartoon up to the Gold and Silver ones. I played the video games up to Gold and Silver. I really enjoyed Pokemon Stadium 1 and 2. It was really, really fun. Really great games. Fun to play with friends for a while. And, you know, I really, although I wasn't as impressed by, like, Pokemon Tournament and Pokemon Tournament DX, I mean, they were fun, but they were, I think, just missing, like, the joy that, like, was there with Pokemon Stadium 1 and 2. Although they were, I could see how they were fun. And, of course, it's always been fun in some of the previous, more recent, you know, Pokemon, Super Smash Brothers games. They've had Pokemon in them. Like, you know, you've gotten to play as Mewtwo and some of the other Pokemon characters. And clearly, like, with how big the roster's gotten now, there's definitely some much more stronger, powerful Pokemon in the universe now than when I played. And like I said, I've gotten to meet some of the, you know, the voice actors of Pokemon. I've gotten to meet the guy who did the theme song for Pokemon. And again, though, Pokemon Go just didn't, you know, grasp me for whatever reason. I just never really played it. I never got into it. I missed the whole craze entirely, which, like I said, it's still out there a little bit. And so it was, oh God, maybe a number of months ago, you know, news came out that, oh, they're doing a brand new Pokemon game on the Nintendo Switch. And I remember at first getting excited, going, oh, cool, another Pokemon game. I might play this, might be kind of fun. Although I admit, when they did Detective Pikachu, I'm sorry, I didn't care. I'm like, nope, I don't really care about that. That doesn't really seem to excite me too much. And like I said, it's been many years since I've played a Pokemon game. So it looked kind of cool. I can say I was excited at first. But then I watched the trailer. And the trailer looks like this is going to be Pokemon Go on the Nintendo Switch. And my heart kind of sank because I'm like, oh, that's what we're going to be doing now? We're going to be doing a Pokemon game on there, huh? I just know. I'm like, I just was like, well, that sucks because this is not really what I was looking for. It's like, nope. So I was kind of bummed. Like, it's like, oh boy, you get to, like, you know, download all your Pokemon from, you know, Pokemon Go, and you're gonna have this cool little, like, you know, Pokemon Pokeball that, like, has a little thing on it. You can just throw that and catch Pokemon, and there's gonna be, like, you know, berries and things like that to help catch them and daze them. And so I was like, well, that's kind of a bummer, because I was looking forward to a Pokemon game I might actually be excited in, I might actually want to play. And but E3 came around, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, the game looks okay. I might give it a shot. And when I played it, it was not what I expected in a good way. It's called Pokemon Let's Go, which is either Pikachu or Eevee. If you can guess, you either get to start with Pikachu or with Eevee, depending on which game you play. And I'm here to tell you, thankfully, it's more like Pokemon Red and Blue. Now, you're not called Ash, but you can choose a male or a female trainer. You run around different areas. You know, you're catching Pokemon. You get to fight other trainers. Catching Pokemon is a bit of a challenge. There was a really cool, like I said, a little attachment where it looks like a Pokeball. And it's got a little like a joystick on it, and you can use that to walk around, and you can use that to, like, you know, go catch the Pokemon. The Pokemon aren't really like you don't really walk around going, well, is there a Pokemon in the grass or not? You can see if there is or isn't. But it was definitely challenging to take the Pokemon down. It was really fun to go around gaining experience. I believe you're going around the game to, you know, collect badges and become a Pokemon master, I think is what's happening. And yeah, the demo, I got to play it a few times at E3, and I was quite impressed. I was like, man, this is actually a really fun game. I didn't want to put it down. That's how much fun I was having with this game. I'm like, I don't want to put this game down. I just don't. I'm having too much fun. I'm having way too much fun. It's taken me back to, yeah, when Pokemon began for me. You know, which I think fans kind of want at this point. You know, we've had a lot of games where it's been, you know, new Pokemon, new Pokemon, new Pokemon. Oh, yes, more new Pokemon. Oh, look, there's even more new Pokemon. You thought you were done? No, there's more Pokemon. It's just like, I just think it got kind of old after time. You're like, look, that's enough Pokemon. I mean, there's 400-something Pokemon now, maybe even more, around 500 now. It's like, do you really need that many Pokemon? I mean, seriously, do you really want us to catch all of those? It was hard enough to catch all 152, and then all 253. It was hard enough doing that. You really want us to keep going? I don't think I would personally want to keep going. I'd be like, you know what? I've caught enough. I don't need to catch any more. So going back to basics, but adding new elements, I think is a great idea. I am really excited for this. And this is probably the first time in a while I'm like, a Pokemon game I want to play. A Pokemon game I'm excited for. A Pokemon game I think is going to do really, really well and be a lot of fun. Now, it's true. If you have a bunch of Pokemon on Pokemon Go, yes, you can like take those Pokemon and put them into this game and put them in your roster. Okay, so there's that. But you don't have to have Pokemon Go to play this game. You don't. And I personally think maybe you shouldn't, but that's just my opinion. And, yeah, like I said, like, the graphics are really good. You know, getting to choose those two as starter is different. Now, there's been, I remember in Pokemon Yellow, you could choose either Pikachu as your starter, or you could choose, I think, still a Charmander, Squirtle, one of those two, I think. Although I could be wrong, because I want to say I did play Yellow. I want to say I even probably owned Yellow at one point. But I can't remember if he just was your starter and that was it. You had no choice, or if you could choose to have him as your starter or not. I can't honestly remember. It's been that long since I played Pokemon, but it was something along those lines. So, like, you know, because in the cartoon, it was like, hey, Pikachu was your first Pokemon, and that was that. That's just what happened. You didn't get to, I think by the time that Ash gets there in the cartoon, it's like, well, all the Pokemon are gone from Oak, so you're kind of screwed. Too bad. You know, and of course, you know, he found Pikachu and the rest is history. And, yeah, so, like I said, I don't remember if that's how this series was, but, you know, they made that where, hey, you could choose Pikachu there instead of just going out there and catching a Pikachu, right? That's how it went. And, yeah, I think this is going to be another hit for Nintendo. I think it's going to bring in the older Pokemon fans like me, because, like I said, I know I'm very interested. I'm very excited. And I think it's going to, if you're a fan of Pokemon, you're going to want to play this game. Now, there's a few trailers on YouTube now. I would suggest just watching one of the smaller ones where it doesn't go too deep into it. But there are a few, and you get to really get an idea of what this game is going to be like. How it's going to be, you know, the same but different with new twists. And This game does come out on Nintendo Switch, I believe, on the 6th of November. So it's only in a couple of weeks. You know, it's going to be here before we know it. They have it online. You can get like a little it's kind of like a little like pack type thing where it'll come with the Pokeball I talked about and the game. So it comes with those, and I would suggest getting the Pokeball if you get a chance, because like I said, it made the experience a lot more fun for me. I had so much fun just because of, hey, I got to have this Pokeball in my hand that I'm using as a joystick, and I could throw it and catch Pokemon. It definitely made the demo that I played a lot more fun for me. So yeah, keep out for that game in the next coming weeks to the Nintendo Switch. All right, so I think that's all we have for you today. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you learned a lot of really cool stuff. And we'll be back real soon with more technology news.